sit down for a week and then go out and face Ryan, and I've done that too, you know. And that's the biggest joke you ever want to see. But it's tough when you're sitting down for 3 or 4 days and you're hitting off Ozzie Virgil or Bobby Doran. They're pumping them up there about 38 miles an hour, and then you go out and the first pitch is 90, you know. It's to play the game, you got to play every day. Catching skills, you can keep up with those. If you're not going to play every day, you better be a good catcher, you know.
So 69 was a real roller coaster for you, wasn't it? Askew came along, and then Satriano, and it seemed like you bounced in and out of it.
Well, I'm not too sure they didn't know what was happening, you know, that they was in a clean house, and it seemed like they were trying to find somebody to take over. And you know, Fisk every year was going to be counting Fisk, and he would come the spring and have the worst spring you ever seen, you know, and they'd send him out. And then they finally get to the position where, you know, here it is, you got the job, big guy. And
that was, what, 72?
Yeah.
It took before I got the shot.
The poor guy, I felt sorry. I wasn't rooting against him, and he didn't make me cry because he didn't do good, but I kept saying to myself, damn, I can't believe this kid can have that bad a spring every year, you know? And, you know, heavens knows that he's turned out to be the greatest catcher around, but at times it takes something like that when they got nothing left. They say, yeah, you got it, you know? And you go from there, so. Like Rico, you know, I played with Rico in AAA, and he couldn't hit the wall here if you give him a bat. I mean, he was terrible. They had him hitting left-handed, he was so bad. And the Sox need a shortstop, and there's history. They bring him back here, and the guy just tears the league apart.
Yeah, once he got the hang of that wall.
Yeah.
He was in clover, wasn't he?
Once he got back here and got a hit, he said, geez, this is fun. But he was just terrible in AAA, but, you know, they give him a quick break, and that's all it takes. And you make the best of the break that you get.
At what point in the minors did you feel sure that you were going to make the majors?
No, AAA. When I got to AAA,
Seattle.
Yeah, I had some good years out in Seattle, and at the time the Sox didn't really have anybody catching. You know, Tillman and Geely, and they just kept Pagliarone and back and forth. And so I figured I was going to get a shot, and I was hoping to get it a lot sooner than I did. But I knew when I was in the early minors. In the early minors, I was a good hitter, and I had a few flaws as far as catching went. So then I over-adjusted. I became a great catcher and let my hitting go. Jeez. So it was a lot of work, but you always hope you're going to make it. I would have liked the advantages they have nowadays where, you know, if they don't keep you, somebody else can pick you up. Because I talked to a few managers in those days that said they were trying to get me, but, you know, it was tough. Once you signed with somebody, you were there for life, you know.
Is that right? If you're in the minors for 6 years now, you can
Yeah, and plus if they send you down three times, you know, somebody can pick you up for $20,000 or $10,000 or whatever, so you get a lot better chance of going than you did when I was playing.
What's it like in the Red Sox bullpen? Those fans hanging over the screen.
Oh, it's great. You get to know them on your birthday. They have a cake out there, and they give you sandwiches and everything. You know what? They're smart. Not only are they good baseball fans, they're smart baseball. They know their baseball. But it's just like another home. I mean, you walk out, hey, Bill, hi, Joe, hey, the same people all the time. And it's a family out there, you know. It's something else, especially in Fenway.
Oh, yeah.
Those people are beautiful.
I sat in the front row over the dugout three times last year just to try to get the feel of it.
Yeah. I think it's probably changed a little bit, too. We used to stand there and talk to them and have fun with them and everything. I don't think there's too much going on now with the people, you know, the players reacting to the fans. It was like, a club when we were there. Everybody knew everybody else, and we had a lot of laughs and fun. And
is it always rowdy out there?
Yeah. Oh, that place is... Man, you can almost guarantee in the Saturday and Sunday afternoon that there'd be a fight out there. You know, that hot sun beating down. The guy had about five beers, and here we go, you know. But New York's the same way. Met Stadium was the same way, you know. You go in there on a Saturday and Sunday, and it took to about the fifth inning for the sun to bake somebody's brain, and away they went, you know. But, those fans really get into it. They know what they're doing out there. Huh?
I forget who it was, but one pitcher got pissed on from the
I saw a cop one night. He had a guy hanging over the railing. He's going to throw him over the from the upper deck. Everybody, let him go. You know, jeez. I said, boy, these are some animals here. But yeah, we could figure on the fifth inning at Shea, anywhere from the fifth to the sixth inning, it'd all break loose. The Fenway was pretty good. There wasn't many fights there. It was just people having a good time. And boy, they could be scary. I know in 67 when we came back from the road trip where we had just won six in a row or something like that. The pilot came over and said there was 10,000 people at the airport waiting. I mean, they started shaking the bus, and I thought we were dead. We even offered to throw them Canigliaro, you know, just a common time. We got to sacrifice somebody. Tony would be the best one, so.
Never would have made it.
No. And when you're hitting 220 like me, you don't have to worry. You can walk right off the bus and they don't bother you, you know. They want to get at the hitters. So that's what I used to tell Mays. I said, I can hit 300 anytime I want. I said, but you think I want to live like you? I said, you live in your room. You can't go out and eat because people bother you. I said, nobody bothers me. I said, I go any place I want. I can have a good time. I said, my last year, I said, I'll hit 300 just to prove to you I can do it. So I did. I hit 150 at Phoenix and 150 at Frisco. So I told him I'd do it.
When you're sitting out in the bullpen, how much attention do you guys pay to the game?
You pay quite a bit. You sort of have to pay attention because
smoking back here. Smoking up there.
Certain guys, you gotta watch certain guys, see what they're hitting, because guys change from time to time, So you sort of gotta be paying attention because, especially as a catcher or a short reliever, because, your time might be coming in the eighth inning. You go walking in there, you don't have time to sit down and say, how'd you pitch this guy or what's he hitting? You should pretty well have an idea what you're. Now, Candlestick was different because you had to go inside and listen to it on the radio. It was either that or when they called you on the phone, you'd have frostbite so you couldn't go in anyway. So. But with Fenway, you could sit out there and watch the game, you know. But you have to be ready because I've seen three catchers go in one inning, broken hand and broken this. And so you never know when you're going to be.
How torn up or... I don't see too many bad fingers there.
No, I just... I just broke my hand one time, and it was in AAA in Toronto, right at the... with a month ago in the season. I was having a heck of a year, and a guy hit a foul tip and busted my hand. But other than that, my fingers were... But I was just in the era where we started catching one-handed, So it helps quite a bit. unless you get in a situation where you have to bring your hand up, there's no, you pretty well can hide it, you know.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of pranks in the bullpen.
Oh yeah, you got to be alive. You can't, if you go to sleep, there's a good chance you might wake up without a uniform. Or, you know, oh, it's tough. They burn your foot off.
I'm going to interview Mo Drabowski next week.
They say he's the best. Yeah, they said he was. Yeah, you get so that. I remember one time, that's the funniest thing that ever. Did you interview Sparky yet, Lyle?
No.
Well, Sparky had. I mean, he was an old. What do they call it? He worked in the. Rose in Pennsylvania, and he could get up and he could throw a ball through the wall, you know. So he had pitched about four or five nights in a row. So Al Lakeman was our catching coach, and Al was a big, tough, old guy, you know, an old catcher. So the phone rang, and they said, Sparky, you didn't want to use it, but is there any chance you could pitch to one hitter? He said, no, he's in my arm. He said, I'm dead. So he said, okay, so Lakeman said something on the phone, and the phone rings again. He picks it up. He says, Sparky, Dick wants you to just play a little catch and see how it feels. So he says, all right. So Lake says, I'll catch it and give you. I said, okay. So he only went about halfway down. So he says, okay, Sparky. Sparky went, I'm telling you, Lake. He says, I could just about. And his first one, he threw about 100 miles an hour, and he hit Lakeman right in the chest. Right in the middle of the chest. Lakeman chased him all over, and we were all on the ground crying. I've never laughed so much in all my life. You know, Lake expected this balloon ball to come, and Sparky rifled about an 80-mile-an-hour fastball right in his chest bone. So, and things like that. You know, you have to be alive. I mean, it's a rough life now. And there's another one. We get in a fight with the Yankees in Lakeman, who used to be a boxer and everything else. He was a tough guy. When the gate was closed and they couldn't get through the gate to get on the field, so they jumped over the thing, and when Lakeman hit the ground, he tore his ankle up. And by the time he got in there, the fight was over. Everybody was walking back to the bullpen. So.
I'll tell you one. I was in the front row over the bullpen last year when they had the fight with the Tigers, when Clemens drilled Shelby.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And first of all, it was funny to watch all the bullpen guys running out to the mound side by side and wait until they got out to the mound before they turn around and square it off. That was one thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but.
Hey, when we played, you thought twice before you got in a fight with the Tigers. Man, they had animals over there. They had Willie Horton, they had Gage Brown.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those guys just so hideous, look at them. But we got in a few of them because of Lundberg. You know, like last night, I really think Gaston told that the guy to hit Boggs, and he didn't. Because Gaston went out to the mound and gave him a bunch of. So if that was Lonnie, one of our hitters could knock down, I guarantee you the first guy, he wouldn't wait, the first guy up next to him, right in the back, he would have got him.
And they had that big brawl at Pawtucket last night.
Yeah.
The same thing.
Well, see, it's changed a lot now because when we played, you could get the pitcher because, you know, there's no DH and he had to come up. A lot of these guys are braver now because they know they're not going to throw at them. The only way you can get at them is to go out after them, you know? But when we played, they had a hit. You know, I've seen pitchers come up and say, no, I didn't mean that. And I'd say, well, Lonnie ain't going to mean this one either. So they sort of knew that if they knocked anybody down, Lonnie was pitching, that their time had come.
That made the whole difference in his success, didn't it?
It didn't, and it was, I think Sal Magley did it, because I caught Lonnie in Seattle, and he was the shyest guy you've ever seen in your life, and I came here to Boston, he got here before I did, and the first night I caught him, we were playing Kansas City, and he was in getting stuff in his arm, and I said, Lonnie, you want to go over to hitters? He said, no. He said, Gibby, you caught me all those, you know, 2 years. He said, you know what I'm throwing. He said, She was just called the game. I said, okay. So I was walking out. I said, wait a minute. He said, Campanaris is leading off. He says, I'm going to hit him in the head the first pitch. That's just good. So he didn't miss by much, I'll tell you. I think the ball went between his head and his helmet. I just couldn't believe it was him. The change, you know. He turned into just a complete gorilla. And guys, you know, even Frank Robinson, they said, don't knock him down because it makes him a better hitter. But he didn't like to hit off Lonnie.
Really?
Oh, you never knew which one was going to separate you, you know. But he was, he had great stuff. I just wish he wouldn't have got hurt because he would have been Hall of Fame material with no problem.
Ironically, I came across a photo in the Sporting News. Oh, this is true. 3 days before his accident, a photo appeared in the Sporting News of Longboard getting a skiing lesson.
No kidding. Is that right? What a shame, huh?
That's sad.
Shit. Between him and Koenig, those two Hall of Famers right there. So that's got to be something for you to travel all over. You go to all the games, too?
I'm trying to time everything, so I find somebody to interview in the city when the games are going to be there. Yeah.
Oh, that's great. That's going to be quite a way to spend the summer, you know?
It is. I love it. Getting to meet players. Everybody I talk to is real friendly. I'm a baseball fanatic.
Are you real?
I write about it. Study the history, but any kind of a ball game. Here's one for you. I'm going to see Jim Boughton pitch a semi-pro game next week.
No kidding. He's still pitching?
Pitching. Still throwing the knuckleball.
Probably saying that he's got a shot of coming back, too.
Yeah. You and he are the same age.
Yeah.
And
different strokes, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
I've taken enough beatings. When I play now, it's because I have to. Like, we have a fantasy camp every year down in Florida, so I usually play in that and maybe play in one or two old-timers games. But in fact, my two boys finally get to meet Dietz 2 years ago. He called me. He says, kill me. He says, you playing any old-timers game? I said, no. He says, oh, damn, I'm coming back. I'm playing with the National League. I said, oh, great. I'll come up and see you. So lo and behold, Moses was supposed to catch for the Red Sox in the American League, and he could call out of town, so they called me on a Wednesday and said, Russ, can you make it up and play any? I said, you could for $1,500. I'll go any place. Well, so I grabbed my two boys, we went up, and I was with Dietz for the whole weekend, and oh, we had a ball. My kids were so, and they still talk about him.
What's
funny.
He doing?
Nothing. He was trying to hook on us with the Giants as a coach, and he might be doing that. I don't know. I haven't seen him. That was maybe 3 or 4 years ago. So, but he was. What a year he had!
Yeah, I was looking at that this morning. Drove 100 runs.
He had a home run in the All-Star game.
Drove in over 100 runs, 100 walks, hit 300.
He was an animal. He got hit in the head in the Astrodome one night. And they carried him off the field, and I went in, and after the game, I asked the trainer, I said, what hospital is he in? I'm going to go see him. He said, no, you can't. He said, he's going to be there till at least tomorrow night or something. So I said, oh, all right, I'll go over in the morning. I said, so I go back to the room, and I'm sitting there about midnight. Sure than hell, the door opens, and here he comes walking through with a bandage around his head. Walk right out of the hospital. He was playing. He wanted to play the next night. Oh, he was an animal. He could hit, though.
You still live and die with the Red Sox?
Who, me? No, not really. I'd like to see him win, but my kids absolutely adore him. But I don't know what it is. Boston, to go up there and fight the crowd and go to the game. I go to a lot of games in Pawtucket. It's only 20 miles from my house.
Okay.
And there's not a bad seat in the house. And I maybe go to 2 Red Sox games a year, and I'd like to see them win, and, you know, but to me, I've been up the last couple, I went to a 2-1 game, 3 hours and 30 minutes. I just couldn't believe how long it takes to play a ball game now. You know, the pitcher stands out there, takes his hat off, wipes it. Now he gets set and the hitter steps out.
I know.
I just, even TV, I can't watch it on TV.
They got to be able to do something about it. They got to start enforcing, batter stay in the box, pitcher stay on the rubber or something.
Sure. I mean, the best pitchers in baseball that I ever saw, Gibson, Lonnie, anybody, Perry and Marichal. Perry's favorite saying was, win or lose, I'll be back in 2 hours. You know, I mean, these guys, it was almost tough. You'd catch the ball and throw it to them, you had to get right down because they were ready to throw again.
What was it like catching Marichal?
Great. You could sit back there with blindfolds on, just put your glove up and he'd hit it, you know? Oh, Perry, that was another thing. That is a treat in itself right there, trying to catch him. Throwing that spitball, I mean, that thing, he had a good one. And it was tough to catch. It was a lot tougher than knuckleball. Well, because the bottom fell out at the last minute, and you didn't know which way it was going to fall out, you know?
At least knuckleball came up slower.
Yeah,
than
you had a
day,
shot. You could let it hit your body and just keep it in front of you. But
where'd you catch a knuckleballer?
Oh, I caught Wilbur Wood for years. He still thinks I'm crazy. The game I can always remember was out in AAA in Seattle. We're in the ninth inning. They had the bases loaded, 3-2. We were ahead 1-0. But I didn't even hesitate. I caught it, took a knuckleball, and he threw it. And it was a good one. I just let it hit me in the stomach, you know, and then I picked it up and stepped on home. The game was over. He says, I can't believe you called that. I said, what else was I going to call? You know, if you're going to get beat, you're going to get beat with your best pitch. And, you know, so I said, well, you didn't hesitate. You threw the son of a bitch without shaking your head or anything. So, but he had a good one. And it was amazing how I used to hit him. Unbelievable. And he used to say, you know my signs, and you know this. You know. I said, I don't know nothing. I said, I caught you for 10 years. I said, I could tell when you get here what you're going to throw, you know. So we used to go out after the game, especially when he came into Fenway. The only time I can remember him getting me out was we were in last in the ninth. We had the bases loaded, and they had brought Wilbur in to pitch to somebody, and the phone rang, and I was down a bullpen. They said, send Gibson in. So that's probably one of the funniest feelings in the world. The whole thing stops to watch you run all the way across the field. And you don't want to take too much time trying to get loose because the people have waited this long already.
And you don't want to be out of breath.
Yeah, I know. You don't want to go up there puffing and up. So I went up and very first pitch, he hung a knuckleball and I hit a line drive, almost took the shortstop's head off and he caught it. The game was over. But I just... what happened with Wilbur, he used to worry about it so much when I was up. He tried too hard and knuckleball.
Flat.
Yeah. And it seemed like he always gave me one good one to hit.
Do you know where I can find him? He's got a fish store in Delmont.
No. Not anymore.
Not anymore. His number is unlisted.
Jeez, I've seen him 3 or 4 times at I haven't had a chance. I don't follow. You see Mike Andrews tomorrow, he might know. Mike knows a lot of the guys because he gets in touch with them for the Jimmy Fund. But no, he sold that fish place. And he's working for a pharmaceutical outfit. He's going around selling to the hospitals and stuff. Because one night I'm at home in my house, believe me, I have friends that have been there 10 times and they have trouble finding. So one night I was bowling every Wednesday night and so one night it had just gotten dark, it was during the winter time. And the doorbell rang and I was walking out and I opened the door, I put the light on, I opened the door and the guy said, I said, yeah? I said, can I help? And the guy's just looking at me, and I figured the guy's on drugs or something. And then he opens his mouth, I said, jeez, Wilbur. You know, he had put on about 50 pounds along with me and I should have recognized, but it was sort of dark and everything. And but as soon as he opened his mouth, I knew it was him. I said, how in the hell did you find me out? He had gone to a hospital in Fall River, and he got out, get done early, and he saw on a map where Swansea was right near there. He said to somebody, you know how I get to Swansea? And he found my house. I had no idea.
What kind of homing instinct?
Oh, jeez. It was so good to see. I hadn't seen him in 20 years. But he had some great years.
He sure did. I talked to Bob Locker.
Really?
Who lives up around Oakland.
Oh, yeah.
And he talked about that incredible bullpen they had.
Oh, yeah. Good.
The first real great deep bullpen.
Yeah. White Sox always had the pitching, boy. You'd go in there when we played and you wouldn't see a ball above your knees for 4 days. They had Peters and Holland and Tommy John and everything. Sinker, 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 slider, sinker, jeez.
And the long grass.
Oh, yeah.
And the cold baseballs.
The only thing you had going for you, if you got a run, you had to win because they couldn't get one, you know? I think the only guy they had that could hit a ball was Agee. Well, Tug McGraw, he did hit one once in a while.
Tom McGraw? Yeah. Maybe Pete Ward.
Yeah, well,
until he got beaned, though, I guess.
Josephson. I saw a kid, boy, that really has changed the wind behind home plate. I saw a pop-up last night that Ward is the catcher for Toronto, but that used to be, before they built that thing, if a ball went up, you'd actually have to stay about 5 feet away from it, and it would come back to you. And when they talk about the White Sox, the opening game that year, we played the White Sox, and there were three pop-ups hitting back at a post. And the first one, Josephson missed by 5 feet. He got a little better the second time. It only went 2 feet over his head. And the third one, he just about got his glove on. He dropped that. Well, one more, he would have been, he was getting close enough, he might have. So you want to see Mike tomorrow, huh?
I hope to. I tried to call this morning, but he was out on a photo shoot, and they said call back after 3, so.
Oh, he's so tough to. I just call and leave a message, and then he calls and leaves one with me, and then I call and leave. Sooner or later, we get together. He's a busy man. He does quite a bit. He's always got something wrong with the Jimmy Fund.
A good spot for a good man.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, he loves it. You know, it's something that, like he says, whenever times get tough, he just walks across the street and sees his kids over there. And he realizes that we don't have it that tough, you know. So we had some fun together, and I think that's what they don't have anymore. I've been in clubhouses for old-timers games and stuff, and nobody has any fun anymore. You know, it's a job. You come in, you put your stuff on, you go out. I mean, we used to, I've gone into our clubhouse, and we've been playing hockey, you know. We've got the biggest game of the year, and there's a hockey game going in the clubhouse. But we had a loose team, and we had a lot of fun. Guys like Gary Bell, and I remember he brought Bell in, and the biggest series of the year, we went into Detroit, and about a couple of weeks ago, they were a game ahead of us. We went in for a two-game series. Yaz beat him the night before with a home run, and then he put his ahead with a home run the second night, and we had the bases loaded in the ninth inning.